Good morning and welcome back to Condo Craze and HOAs. We're here each Sunday at 11 a.m. on 850 WFTL in South Florida. I'm Karen Curtis and I'm here again today with attorney Eric Glazer from Glazer & Sachs PA. Eric is board certified by the Florida Bar and Condominium and Plan Development Law. The firm has attorneys in Fort Lauderdale and Orlando. And we are here each week to answer all your calls and emails about the issues that make life in your condominium or HOA absolutely crazy from one minute to the next. We'd love to get the phone lines going early, answering all of your condo and HOA questions. No matter where you are in the state, give us a call right here in the studio, 877-850-8585. Again, that's 877-850-8585. Or if you prefer to email us your questions, you can do so by visiting the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com and by clicking on the email the show tab. Eric.
All right. And if you're a fan of the show and like to read our blogs and newsletters, just make sure to go to our website, condocrazeandhoas.com. And join our email list. Our website is all brand new, by the way. By joining each week, you can get announcements about the show, our blog, our free seminars, our newsletters, updates on the law, and a whole lot more. Of course, we do a blog every single Monday morning at hoa-condoblog.com. Again, hoa-condoblog.com. Tomorrow's topic, so what's in store this year at the Florida legislature as far as condo and HOA law goes? And next week, as a matter of fact, we're going to have a special guest on our show.
Yay.
Jan Bergman from Citizens for Justice. Yeah, everybody knows it as CCFJ. And Jan is going to tell us what legislation we have been working on together.
Yes.
And what we hope to get passed this coming legislative session. We're really working hard.
That's really awesome. I can't wait to hear.
Yeah, a lot going on. So happy Valentine's Day to all of our listeners out there. Happy Valentine's Day, Karen.
Thank you. Happy Valentine's
and,
Day.
Very special happy Valentine's Day to my wife, Mikkel, of 30 years.
Yay.
Now, you know, everybody's expected to be on their best behavior today. So when it comes to their spouse or significant other, no matter how crazy they may be driving you today, you have to grin and bear it and say, yes, dear, right? The
yes,
answer
dear.
Is yes, dear. Absolutely. Try to remember that. It'll make the day much more pleasant.
Yes, dear. I can't believe it's just been a week because last week we had two significant things that happened. Both were pretty predictable, though. Tom Brady won another Super Bowl and got bombed. And then President Trump was acquitted by the Senate again.
Yeah, it's been a lot happening since our last show. And again, Brady, of course, again, proved he's the greatest of all time.
Oh, yeah.
And I got to tell you, I can't imagine what it must have felt like to be watching that Super Bowl, like, in Boston as a diehard Patriots fan.
Yeah.
That had to be living a nightmare, let me tell
Winners
you.
Winners are coming to Florida there, Eric.
Yeah, that's right.
Florida's
that's
the place
true.
To be.
Right, absolutely. Brady and Gronk. But like you said, President Trump was, of course, acquitted by the Senate yesterday. A complete waste of the taxpayers' money again. You know, at a time when we still have thousands dying from the coronavirus, our cities are literally crumbling and crime-ridden, right? This is what Congress thought was important this week, to continue to go after a president that has already been removed. I mean, really?
Yeah, I just don't understand it. I mean, can this type of thing happen in a condo or an HOA where the president gets removed but the recall proceedings against him or her will allow them to continue?
Yeah, this scenario actually happens quite often in the condo and HOA world. You know, again, sometimes we like to show how politics in the real world mirrors what goes on in our condo and HOA. So this happens quite often. Let's say a group of owners get together and they want to remove the current president of the board in a condo or HOA. So they serve the board with enough recall ballots, but the board decides to fight and not certify the recall, right? So now we're off to court. We're off to arbitration, right? And there's a case pending.
So the board just can't say off with your head, you're gone.
Can't do it that way, no. They got to do a recall process. So winds up in arbitration. So there's a pending court case, right? Now let's say that court case is dragging on, and in the meantime, there's a new election in the community, and the election occurs, and then the question becomes, wait a minute, what happens to the pending arbitration case? And suppose the new election, during the new election, the person who you want to recall, they lost. They're now off the board anyway, all right? So what happens? What does the case law say at the arbitration?
Please.
Okay, so there's a case called Green Tree Condo versus Unit Owners Seeking Recall.
They should have used this, right?
Yeah, exactly, but these cases make sense.
They should have cited this.
Right? The arbitrator held that the recall was moot.
But in condo law...
Right, in condo law. It's moot when an election for all positions on the board was held while the petition for arbitration was pending. Just like the Trump case, right? There was an election in the meantime. He's removed. It makes the matter moot.
You should have been up there arguing.
Yep. There's another case. Hacienda del Sol versus unit owners voting for recall. The arbitrator held an intervening election in which all the board members subject to recall were reelected, makes the recall attempt moot, right? Another case. And in another case, the arbitrator dismissed the petition for recall as moot because of an intervening election, despite the fact that the unit owner said, wait a minute, there were irregularities. That's the bottom line. An intervening election, just like we had in the Trump situation, it makes the pending case for removal moot.
Either way it goes, though, if they're reelected or not reelected.
Right, it's moot. It's a moot
period.
Issue, correct. Exactly. Intervening election moots it in the condo world.
But they could still do a recall on the reelection.
Yeah, yes, they can. Exactly.
Okay. Wow.
Absolutely.
So all the arbitration cases say that when there is an intervening election, the attempt to remove the person from the board becomes moot. Well, we just said that. But
yeah, exactly. Correct. And that's again, Karen, that's exactly what happened with Trump. We have an election that removed him from office, right? Any pending legal attempts to remove him from office became moot. And that's what, you know, all the senators are screaming about, the Republican senators. It's unconstitutional to actually have this proceeding now. Bottom line, Trump lost his reelection bid.
Right.
And there's even a case in arbitration that says it's a moot when the election is even going to occur in the near future, right? What's the point in taking up?
Oh, they don't even waste their time.
What's the point in wasting time, right? Let the new election figure it out.
It's so funny because what they're doing with Gavin Newsom out there in California, they're apparently, you have to get enough signatures and like 75,000 of them were thrown out. So they have to get like 300,000 extra.
Right, just to make sure.
To cover.
Yeah, he's gone. He's gone. I was listening to the news last night. He may have a big problem on his hand.
Holy moly. So, at least in this scenario, it seems that when it comes to elections, removing presidents in Florida of condos and HOAs is certainly more on the ball than what's going on in Congress.
Absolutely. Florida is certainly more on the ball than what's going on in Congress. That is my opinion. Our Florida arbitrators have it right. Congress has it wrong. Go figure. Right? But let's take our first break of the hour. When we get back, let's hear what our listeners think. If you want to wish somebody a happy Valentine's Day, no problem. Do it live. Do it on the air. Taking your calls, 877-850-8585. 877-850-8585. We'll be back right after this.
Are the roads, parking lots, and walkways in your community association in need of repair? DMI Paving and Seal Coating can help. DMI Paving and Seal Coating is the largest seal coating company in the United States, an industry leader for over 57 years in asphalt restoration, asphalt paving, parking lot striping and maintenance, concrete sidewalks, curbing, or ADA parking lot compliance. Let DMI Paving and Seal Coating pave the way and make your community look great. At DMI Paving and Seal Coating, they believe in well-trained personnel, top-quality equipment, and materials and friendly customer service. Customers include office building complexes, educational facilities, hospitals, hotel chains, apartment complexes, condominium and hotel associations, and the largest mall and big box retail companies in the country. DMI Paving and Seal Coating is a LEED accredited Green Advantage certified environmentally responsible full service asphalt paving contractor and seal coating expert. DMI Paving and Seal Coating serves the entire state of Florida and most of the southeastern United States. Call today for a free estimate, 800-432-1191. That's 800-432-1191. Or visit DMIPavingandSealCoating.com.
Need an insurance evaluation, audit, or quotation for your condo association or homeowners association? If so, then you need to speak with our insurance experts at Mack, Mack & Waltz. We insure over 800 associations, and we are the clear leader in this marketplace. Mack, Mack & Waltz has been in business since 1989. We write insurance on billions of dollars of property values. We are an independent insurance agency representing insurance companies which specialize in condo and HOA insurance. The staff at Mack, Mack & Waltz works closely with board members and property managers and regularly attends association meetings to help educate the association about their insurance policies. To learn more about how Mack, Mack & Waltz can save you money and improve your insurance program, call now 954-640-6225 and ask for Greg Waltz. 954-640-6225, Mack, Mack & Waltz Insurance Group. Let us protect your association.
Someday, you will need insurance. And for that day, you'll be glad you wrote down Insurco Insurance and Financial Services. Why? Because Insurco virtually insures everything. They're a full-line insurance agency that'll put together the best possible coverage and premium for almost anything. Need homeowners or condo insurance? Call Insurco. Need auto or motorcycle insurance? Call Insurco. How about golf cart insurance or trailer and RV insurance? Just call Insurco for a free quote. They're open every day. From renter's insurance, officer's and director's insurance, and personal liability umbrellas to all types of business insurance, boat insurance, cancer policies, life, health, and annuities. All you need is Insurco. Get a free quote. They service Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach. Speak English and Spanish. Insurco Insurance and Financial Services. It's the only name you need. Office at 14401 West Sunrise Boulevard in Sunrise, inside Edmore Chevrolet.
Call 954-846-1206. 954-846-1206. That's 954-846-1206.
Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends?
Welcome back to Concrete and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. Phone lines are packed right now, but don't wait to the last minute to call in. 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585 if you want to talk to Eric about anything condo or HOA related. Eric?
All right, first call of the day, Julia from Hollandale. How are you, Julia?
Doing good. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning, Karen.
Good morning.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Same to you.
Same to
you.
All who love our country and to all who appreciate our Constitution.
Thank you so much.
Number two. And to you, of course, lovely people. Number two, I don't know if anybody saw the movie Wag the Dog.
Yep.
Highly recommend it. I think our impeachment was exactly that. It was a distraction for something sinister that's going on in the back. It was never about impeachment. They knew.
Take your eyes off of what's really going on. Sure.
Everybody's going to do their own research, but who didn't see the movie, definitely you'll enjoy it. Now, here's my question. We have a change of the board, complete change of the board, and the minutes from the previous meetings, 2 minutes from the two meetings of the previous boards, apparently were not signed.
Right.
One of the contracts that was signed by the previous board has the basis in the motion in one of those unsigned minutes. So my question is, how do we sign the minutes? Does it have to be the previous board, or the new board has the authority to do that? Number two, is this contract, which was signed based on the minutes that are unsigned, is that contract valid?
If the bottom line is the contract is valid if it was signed by a board member who was a board member at the time, period. That's the bottom line. Now, in terms of who should sign the minutes, if it's a totally new board, if they were at the meeting, I think, and they know what happened, I think they can certainly verify the minutes if they remember it being correct. If not, I would have no problem if you can get the prior board members to verify the minutes. I think either way is fine. You know, no problem. As long as they're verified, either way, I think would be fine. Okay.
Thank
you so much, Julian. Take care. How about we go to Amy in Boca? Amy.
Hello, Amy.
Amy there.
Amy in Boca.
Once, twice. All right, then we're going
yes.
to. Oh, hey, Amy.
Good morning, Eric.
Just
good.
Made it.
Happy
good morning.
Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day.
My question concerns the statute 718.
Right.
I want to know if the condo bylaws are primary and the state statutes, especially the secondary, are they? Which takes precedence, the state statutes or the bylaws?
The statute certainly takes precedent. In other words, your bylaws can't violate provisions of 718. But sometimes, you know, the statute itself would say something, and then it'll conclude by saying, unless your bylaws say otherwise. But there's only certain statutes that say that, you know, very few. So it depends what the issue is. Generally speaking, yes, of course you can't violate the statute. The statute is on, you know, is first, is primary. But sometimes the statute, again, will say, unless your bylaws say otherwise. So it depends what the issue is.
Well, this is in reference to violating 718. They didn't send out the notices on time.
Right.
And the second notice, and they didn't put in the new
Is this for fining?
Who preceded their
The election. They did the election wrong.
You know nothing about them.
Okay. All right. So if they did the election wrong, the election pretty much is governed by Florida statute 61, the Florida Administrative Code 61B. And if they did it wrong, there's lots of provisions in that section 61B of the Florida Administrative Code that require the board of directors to restart, completely redo an election from the beginning if there's certain screw-ups in that. So you got to read that to find out. Okay, but Amy, if you want me to go dig deeper in that regard.
From the beginning, even with the people want to run,
It depends how far the process is. So give me a call in the office tomorrow, 954-983-1112, 954-983-1112, and we'll figure out if they got to do it again. Okay? How about we go to Joe in Boynton?
Good morning. My wife ordered me to give Happy Valentine's Day to everybody, and my answer was yes, dear.
Yeah, there you go. Here's a loyal listener right there.
I love it.
If and when we open up our gym, can we restrict the attendance of the gym to the people who have only had two COVID shots?
Can you restrict it? Well, as long as you comply with the current provisions of the law, you're allowed to let people in. Now, how are you going to – I guess you're going to have to a card that says I've been – that shows I've been vaccinated twice. They have that card, right?
Right.
You're going to ask to see that first?
Correct. I have a card.
So the question becomes this, right? Is that rule that the board is going to make a reasonable rule, right? Because the bottom line is Joe's board can say, you know what? We're not opening up the gym at all. We're keeping it closed. Okay, you want us to open the gym? We're going to have a rule that says the people that can use it are the ones that have proof that they've been vaccinated twice. The question is that a reasonable rule? I certainly think so. At this juncture, yes, I certainly think so, because, Joe, is your community is basically 55 and over, right?
Correct.
Okay, so God forbid someone, you know, 55 and over gets the coronavirus. It could be deadly. So is Joe making a reasonable rule by saying you can't use the gym unless you have proof that you're properly vaccinated? I have no problem with that rule at all. I think it's a good rule, and I think it's a lifesaver. Okay?
Thank you.
Thank you, Joe. Happy Valentine's Day to you and yours. How about we go to, what do you got, Bruce in Jensen Beach.
Hey, Bruce.
Good morning, Eric. How are you?
Good morning.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sure, dear. Sure can. No problem.
Okay. Eric, we have just had a changeover of the board where we have a new president. And the old president is refusing to turn over the email password to the account that's dedicated to the board of directors.
Okay.
What can we do to retrieve that password?
That president has, according to the statute, when they're gone, they have 5 days to turn over everything, you know, all the records. And I think that password would fall into that category. So if because they simply won't turn it over, you can't get into the accounting records now of the association. Is that right?
That's right. And he's saying right now that the reason he can't turn it over is because he's commingled his the board email account with his personal email.
Well, let him sit down.
Just a blank one.
Let him sit down. The bottom line is there are condo records that you need access to, but he has the password to, and he won't give it to you. So he has a choice. He could turn them over, or he can get sued in court, right, file an emergency injunction against him to turn it over. And when he loses, he'll not only perhaps have to pay his attorney, but he'll have to pay your condo's attorney as well.
Eric, doesn't that make you wonder what else he's commingling?
Yeah, who knows? Now it's, you know, when someone
maybe
doesn't want to give a password, now I want to know more than ever what the hell happened with that account.
Right.
Right? I mean, that's, you know, a sign that something obviously went wrong with that account, and he wouldn't want you to see it. I mean, why else would a prior member of the board not want you to see the records, right? It's like the same thing when the condo or HOA doesn't file their year-end financial report on time. the division says, uh-oh, what's going on? What's that board hiding? And they usually wind up fining the association now $5,000. So, by the way, it's a good time to rehash this. But for associations out there, by the end of March, you better be under contract for your year-end report with a CPA. By the end of April, that year-end report better be finished, done. And you have to tell the owners that it is done, and they are entitled to a copy of it, or they can come into the office and get a copy of it. But you can even send one by mail. The statute allows for that. But that's what I'd do. I'd go after my president, take him to court, and make him turn over that password.
Okay,
tell him that
well,
he's got
that kind of stuff?
Sure thing. Absolutely.
Yes.
And if he doesn't do it, give him a letter. Give him 2 days to turn over the password. If he doesn't do it, send a certified letter, return receipt requested. If he doesn't do it, off to court. Here we go. Okay?
Okay.
Thank you, Bruce.
I really appreciate your help. And if this system's recorded so I can go back and re-listen to it, can it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yes, this will be on the website.
You have a new website.
Yes, certainly do. If you need us in the office, it's 954-983-1112. Again, 954-983-1112. Okay? Thanks for the call, Bruce. Let's do this. Let's take our bottom of the hour break.
Thank you very much.
You got it. Thank you. Let's take our bottom of the hour break. Still taking your calls up until 12 o'clock. 877-850-8585. 877-850-8585. We'll be back right after this.
Is your home or condo looking old, worn out, and in need of a fresh look? Then you need PD Painting to paint your property and make it look like new again. PD Painting will first properly prepare your home and condo and then use only the highest quality paint products. After many years in the painting industry, PD Painting has achieved a reputation for always delivering a reliable and professional finish. PD Painting is fully licensed and insured and offers a 7 to 10 year warranty. Their technicians are expert craftsmen. Let PD Painting handle all the details and then sit back and watch them restore your property and bring back that brand new look and feel. Need a service call? PD Painting will be there on the spot. Need financing? PD Painting can offer that too. Call PD Painting at 888-416-3204. Again, that's 888-416-3204. Go to the website pdpaintinginc.com. Need painting done in your home and community? Contact the experts at PD Painting.
Ah, the finer things. Spectacular wine, exotic vacations, or just the time to enjoy the view from your condo? Affinity Management Services gives you time to enjoy them. We provide full-service community association management, including site, administrative, and financial services. We handle everything from complaints and collection of assessments to emergency services and maintenance, giving you more time. Fully accredited by the National Board of Certification for Community Association Managers, we promise service delivered with integrity and respect. And we're endorsed by the Better Business Bureau for our streamlined and professional approach to quality service. Join hundreds of board members across South Florida and call us today at 305-325-4243. Affinity Management Services, simplifying your life to make time for the finer things. 305-325-4243. AffinityManagementServices.com.
Never wait for that first drop of water to leak from your ceiling before you decide to check your roof. Once damage sets in, repairs become more expensive. Invest in a true life cycle roof management program with Best Roofing and protect your building's assets. A roof management service agreement with Best Roofing will prolong the life of your roof, preventing premature roof failure. Let Best Roofing help your association save money with our annual service agreements that prevent leaks, provide emergency service, and increase the life expectancy of your roof. We give you a realistic budget, so there are no unwelcome surprises. Our roof service agreements also provide for cleaning all debris, minor maintenance, sealing and topping off all pitch pans, caulking, and more. And should a storm hit or other emergency occur, clients with service agreements get priority service. To schedule your free condo roof analysis, call Best Roofing at 954-941-9111. That's 954-941-9111. Visit our website at bestroofing.net.
Having problems with the drain pipes and sewers in your condo or HOA? Overwhelmed by the cost of replacement or repair? Call Pipelining Technologies, 561-853-5463. Those old days of invasive repairs to your drain pipes and sewers are over. Thanks to trenchless pipelining and sewer repair by Pipelining Technologies, you don't have to worry about destroying walls, floors, sidewalks, or even landscaping. Pipelining Technologies can fix your drain pipes and sewers without interrupting the quality of life in your community and home. First, the technicians video the source of the problem. Then the patented structural liner is inserted into your damaged pipes. The liner is then inflated to form a new pipe within the old one. And within hours, the job is finished. If drain pipes and sewers in your condo or HOA are failing due to cracks, corrosion, misalignment, tree roots, or they're just backed up, call Pipelining Technologies, 561-853-5463.
And be sure to view their website and 10-year parts and labor warranty at PipeLT.com. That's PipeLT.com.
Welcome back to Conda Gray's and HOA here on 850 WFTL. Wow, we're already halfway through the show. Don't wait to the bitter end to call in. Ask Eric any question that you want about condo or HOA law. He is board certified on the topic. By the way, it's Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day. And if you want to wish someone a happy Valentine's Day, give us a call as well. So, Eric, we got a few calls on hold.
All right, here we go. David in Boynton. How are you, Dave?
Good morning. Very well, thank you, Eric.
What's going on?
Happy Valentine's Day to you and yours.
Thank you so much. Same to you. What's up?
Okay. Our HOA secretary has told the members of our community that they must sign the ballot for our upcoming election, otherwise it will not be counted. Hmm. And this was a combination limited proxy ballot as well as a regular ballot.
Okay.
Is this correct?
If you're telling me that the signature must be on the ballot, that is completely wrong. That is completely illegal, right? The voting process for voting for members of the board has to be secret in both condos and HOAs. So if that's what she's saying, that you got to sign the ballot, she would be completely wrong. Now, if she's saying you need to sign the proxy, right, the most associations send out just a limited proxy. And it's limited to simply count your appearance as if you showed up at the annual meeting, right? Because in order to have an annual meeting and count the votes, right, you need a quorum. So everybody gets in the mail a limited proxy. They should sign that, the limited proxy, and send it back. Why? Because you count those at the meeting, and that counts towards whether or not you have a quorum. But that's a lot different than signing the ballot, which is completely illegal. I hope that answers your question.
The ballot is part of the limited proxy. It's all on one sheet.
It's the ballot. Then if you can determine, the bottom line is this. If you can determine by looking at that sheet who the person is voting for, then that proxy is illegal. That proxy is illegal. Completely wrong. Do over.
Okay. Now,
I'd be interested to see it. Dave, do me a favor. Email it to me tomorrow.
Yeah.
I want to see what it looks like.
If in the course of doing this now, on the night of the election, if they throw out the ballots that have not been signed,
right?
Does this make any difference at all?
Of course. It makes the whole election illegal. The whole election to me seems illegal. So email it to me tomorrow, eric@condo-laws.com. Again, eric@condo-laws.com. Okay? I'd love to see it.
I will do that.
All right?
Good.
Thanks, Dave.
Thank you very much.
Karen, you know what happened in a case I had a couple of years ago?
What?
A management company you know what these QR codes are? Like the crazy little boxes
yes,
and you hold your
yes.
phone up to it. And all that.
Right.
So all of a sudden, a management company, I won't name the management company, but the management company was sending out ballots to everybody, and each ballot had a QR code on it. I'm like, what the hell is this?
Wow.
And sure enough, if you used your phone, you used your device, and you put it over that QR code, you were able to tell whose ballot it is and how they voted. completely illegal, and it happened in more than one community. Let's just say
Why would they do that?
Don't know.
Isn't it supposed to be secret, right?
Of course it's supposed to be secret. A big screw-up by the management company on that one.
Oh.
I mean, a big screw-up.
My goodness.
And they clearly knew better than that. That's the crazy part. So someone there just did something that they shouldn't have done, bottom line. How about we go to Moblaji in Fort Lauderdale? His name just rolls off my
Moblaji.
Tongue.
Moblaji. Happy Valentine's Day.
Hey, Moblaji.
How are you?
Good morning. Happy Valentine's.
Same to you, sir. What's going on?
By the way, due to the coronavirus, the annual meeting and the election was postponed.
Okay.
So when is the association supposed to reschedule the annual meeting?
Okay, so this, you know, I keep getting asked this question. So the bottom line, here's what we have. We have a case that was decided, I think, by the 4th District Court of Appeal. 4th District Court of Appeal case says you have to have your annual meeting on the date provided in your bylaws, right? There's a case that clearly says it. Then, however, all of a sudden, because of COVID, we have this statute that comes out that says if Florida is in a state of emergency, as the governor would indicate, right? So it's up to the governor to declare a state of emergency, which we're still in. We are still in a state of emergency. Then we look at what the emergency statute says for board members. And one of the provisions of the emergency statute says that the board can cancel any association meeting. So what are some boards doing? Any means any. We have a right to cancel. So that obviously conflicts with the 4th DCA opinion that says, nope, you have to have your meeting contained in your bylaws. Now, what would I like to see? I wouldn't like to see an indefinite a delay of your annual election. I think that's ridiculous. The association should and could, and many are doing it. You can have your annual meeting by Zoom. It's not a big deal. I do it all the time. Yeah. For associations now, we send out the mailing, send out the ballots, send out the proxies, have them come back to my office, right? And we do the annual meeting by Zoom. We make sure if there's enough proxies, we then count the votes, everything in front of everybody, right? Everything is on camera. Everybody has a right to see what's going on. And then there it is. You count the results of the election.
Yeah.
So I would like to see boards do it that way, right? Bottom line, do it by Zoom. Give your unit owners the chance to participate.
But
that
don't
would
have
be
the cat filter on.
Yeah, right.
Did you see that with the judge?
Was that funny? Anybody see that? Yeah. I think the attorney said, for the record, Judge, I'm not the cat.
I am not a cat.
I am not a cat, right. So, Moblaji, tell your board that they're being lazy by not having that election, and they could do it by Zoom, okay?
Zoom. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Hello. How about we go to Marie in Fort Lauderdale?
Hi, Marie.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Sure we can.
Yes. I have a question. Well, two questions, actually. We had our annual meeting this past week, and I resigned as the president.
Okay.
Now, the gentleman that wanted to become on the board, indicating he wants to be president, he sent his candidate form in late, about 3 weeks late. And he's also 3 months behind on his maintenance payment.
Okay.
I discussed this with the management company and letting him know that based on the bylaw, this gentleman is not qualified at the moment.
Yes.
So when at our meeting, after I resigned, although I was still there, he held up his form and said he wants to be on the board. Anybody else wants to be on the board? Nobody sent a paper in, but now other people wanted to be on the board.
Right.
And I didn't think that was right. And I'm asking what can be done because now they're supposed to be on the board.
Okay,
they're
so hold on.
Having their organization meeting.
All right, hold on,
this
Marie.
This gentleman is 3 weeks behind his maintenance. Okay.
Marie, is the guy that you're talking about, is he more than 90 days delinquent, right? Is that what you're saying? 90 days delinquent?
Yes.
Okay, so technically the statute says he is off the board. He's not a board member.
He's off the board.
Correct. He can't be a board member. Now, if he won't do that, if he won't step down.
I,
I can't hear.
I'm sorry, I explained that to the management company.
Yes.
But he ignored me that night just because I told him now I'm quitting. I resigned. So he took over. And he called the gentleman, said, I have him. He wants to be on the board. We discussed it at least twice.
Okay. So here's what I want you to do, right? You want to go to your management company, and you want to do a request for records, right? And the record that you're going to get is that person's ledger. You want that president's ledger.
I'm not quite hearing you.
Okay. So, all right, let's put Marie
on hold.
Put
her on hold if you can.
So, Marie, you know, maybe you'll hear this when we post the show tomorrow on our website. But the bottom line is what Marie should do is go make a request for access to records with her management company. Get the ledger for her president. If that if that ledger shows that the president has been delinquent for 90 days or more and he won't step down, you can file a complaint with the DBPR, attach that ledger, and they will certainly do something about it. And if not, you can wind up going to arbitration. Okay? So thanks for the call, Marie. Let's do this. Let's take our final break of the hour. Taking your calls. Keep them coming. Don't wait till the last second. 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585. We'll be back right after this.
This message is for anyone who has taken on the important responsibility of becoming an officer or director in a homeowner or condominium association. It is also for the management companies who work closely with these caring people to make sure things are done the right way. Hello, I'm Gil Pomar, South Florida Regional President for CenterState Bank, now the second largest bank based in Florida. Our bank, CenterState Bank, has an amazing team of professionals who are exclusively dedicated to the homeowner and condo association market. Your job is not easy. There are repairs and new projects that need financing. There are legal and social issues that need to be understood. There are also technology and servicing issues that your residents want to be improved. Why not choose a bank that knows this business backward and forward? Why not have a local banker who will meet with you face to face whenever it is convenient for you or your board? CenterState Bank has over 2,000 associations as customers for a reason. Please give us a chance to earn your business. Call Terry Russo at 954-633-1666 to make it happen. CenterState Bank is an equal housing lender and a member of the FDIC.
Is your condominium or HOA in need of accounting services? Look no further. Gerstle, Rosen & Goldenberg is one of South Florida's largest accounting and auditing firms, as recognized by the South Florida Business Journal, and is one of the few accounting firms uniquely specialized to provide accounting services to their growing condominium and homeowner association clientele throughout Florida. With primary offices in Aventura and Boca Raton, satellite offices in Naples and Orlando, and a professional staff of 65, Gerstle, Rosen & Goldenberg is prepared to meet the needs of any condominium or HOA in the state. The professionals at Gerstle, Rosen & Goldenberg also have experience working with timeshares, cooperatives, hotel condominiums, mixed-use buildings, and ancillary operations like restaurants, spas, and country clubs. Put their 25 years experience in your corner. Gerstle, Rosen & Goldenberg, 305-937-0116. That's 305-937-0116 or grgcpa.com.
If your association has ever been through a major restoration or renovation project, you know it can be a complicated, expensive, and stressful undertaking. Noise, dust, unexpected problems, and that C word no one wants to hear, change orders. But it doesn't have to be chaotic. DSS Condo is here to help you through the condo project management process. Most projects go over schedule and over budget. Without an expert, independent advocate in their corner, associations are exposed to cost overruns, low quality results, and long-term disruption for owners. DSS Condo is Florida's leading association project management firm. They provide tailored, expert construction management services for all types and sizes of association projects, helping you maintain control of the chaos. DSS Condo now offers customizable project management packages that can be modified to meet your association's needs and budget, and now services Miami, Broward, Palm Beach, and Collier counties. Contact DSS at 305-985-3772 or by visiting dsscondo.com. That's 305-985-3772.
Is your condominium starting to crumble? Are your balconies breaking down? Are pieces of concrete and stucco flying off your building, making the building look ugly and putting your residents at risk? Are you in need of your 40-year certification for your building? If so, you need Carousel Development and Restoration right away. Carousel is a concrete restoration company specializing in high-rise condominiums throughout South Florida. Whether you need balcony repairs, garage decks, full deck replacement, rail fabrication and installation, impact windows and doors, or painting and waterproofing, Carousel has you covered. After all, we're South Florida's largest locally owned structural restoration contractor and have been located in Delray since 1979. We know how tough it is to start projects in your condo. Where do you begin? You begin by calling the licensed and insured experts at Carousel Restoration for a free estimate. 561-272-3700. That's 561-272-3700.
Or visit the website cdri.net.
Welcome back to the final segment of Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL on this Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day to the one you love, and to Eric as well. And if you'd like to talk to Eric and wish him a happy Valentine's Day or ask him a question about anything condo or HOA or community association related, give us a call here in the studio. Don't wait to the very end of the show, though. 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585. And if you have a product or service that our Condo Craze and HOAs listeners can use, why not become a sponsor of the show, Condo Craze and HOA's radio show? You just heard a few sponsors there, and you could have a commercial during the show, have a display table at all of our live events that we're going to start doing very soon. And I think you've already done that. You've already started throughout the state. And you get to meet hundreds of condo and HOA board members, your company's logo and website posted on the new Condo Craze website and on our email blast that we send out every week, as well as in our newsletters that we send out to tens of thousands of community associations all around the state. I mean, you get huge exposure. And to find out more, just visit the show's website at www.condocrazeandhoas.com.
It's amazing, Karen. Some of our sponsors have been with us since day one.
Yeah, that, well, right? It's obviously working.
Years, right? 12 years, the same sponsors. So, you know, quite frankly, thank you.
You only have, one or two slots available.
Yeah, exactly. So to everybody out there, support our sponsors, because without them, there is no show. So these sponsors are what's keeping it going. And I urge you again to keep supporting them. And on that note, how about we go to Barry in Miami?
Hey, Barry.
Yeah, hi, Eric. Great website changes. I really like it.
Thank you so much. How can we help?
Sure. Our collections are in good shape. CAI has recommended, this is back in 2001, that associations have operating cash to cover 2 months of operating expenses.
Right.
I've seen another thing where they've recommended 3 months of operating expenses. What do, I guess, you and, Kirstel Rosen and other accounting firms, what do you generally see?
I think you're absolutely right. There should be about 2 to 3 months of operating expenses in the account. Now, the question becomes this. Suppose there's not 2 to 3 months of operating capital, right? And there's 10 months. There's 20 months of operating capital, right? And the board is very, very happy that there's 20 months of operating capital in the bank. We're just going to leave it there. It's not reserve. It's just operating capital. We're going to do our budget, right, for the 2021 year. We're not going to even discuss the fact that we're 20 months ahead on in our accounts. Is that the right way to go? No. According to the statute, anything above like 2 or 3 months would be considered surplus, common surplus, right? So what are you supposed to do with common surplus? Well, common surplus belongs to the people. So with, let's say you have 17 months of extra money in the bank, then technically you should be giving that 17 months back to the unit owners, or use it to reduce the assessments for the coming year, right? It just can't build up forever. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, I've had lots and lots of fights with associations. I'll be honest with you, and I'll tell you, I've lost clients because I've given them this advice, right? No, we want 20 months, we want a 20-month cushion. But Barry is right. Barry, you know, says the cushion should be about 2 to 3 months.
Okay.
Anything above that?
Yeah, we actually did have exactly as you described, twice as much in operating cash. It sat there for years, and I'm surprised no unit owners questioned it and said, "Well, why aren't you either lowering our
right.
maintenance fees?" Can it be transferred into reserves if there's a...
I don't think so. So suppose you voted down a reserve account, right? This is happening in communities that don't even have a reserve account. You know that people voted down, so how could you transfer it into a reserve account if people voted against it? So, again, it's called common surplus, right? And you can look at it on the statute, and it's probably a section about common surplus in your documents and how common surplus should be treated and distributed to the owners, okay? Thanks for the call, Barry.
Great.
All right, how about we go to Kenny in Pompano?
Hi, how are you? It's Kenny Z.
Kenny G.
I have a quick question. Yeah,
yeah.
Kenny Z, I have a quick question. We have a condominium on the ocean in Lauderdale by the Sea, Pompano area.
Yeah.
And I'm curious, if somebody puts a sign on their balcony, a political sign, and has been up there for like 8 months, and he's one sign out of 200 apartments, for some reason the management of our building cannot get him to put it down. Is there a ruling on that?
Okay, so you raised so many different points, and we're going to talk about a lot of things. Number one, we're getting a little feedback from Kenny, so is there a way to, like, cut off him? Okay, so Kenny raises so many issues about the signs. Someone has a political sign sitting there for 8 months. I'm guessing it's a Trump sign. I've never seen anybody keep a Biden sign up there for 8 months. But the condo documents itself, right, probably have a provision in it that say you can't have signs of any kind, for sale signs, whatever. Okay, most condominiums have that. Some HOAs have that as well. Now, this is a political sign, which makes where I'm going very interesting. I just drafted. So, what can they do if you? Let me ask first. What can you do if he doesn't remove it? You can start off by sending him a letter, telling him to remove it. Give him 7 days to remove it, and if he doesn't, the next step is to go to arbitration.
Yeah, but if it's been up for a long time, isn't it just like grandfathered in?
Not after 8 months. You should give him a letter that says remove it within 7 days, certified mail, and the letter must include language that says if you don't remove it, we're going to arbitration.
Okay.
And after 7 days, if he does not remove it, it's off to arbitration. And when he loses, and he will, he'll have to pay the association's attorney's fees and costs as well.
That's in the documents, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. But, you know, I was going to talk about this next week, but one of the pieces of legislation that I drafted, and I'm hoping to get past this legislative session, is condominium owners having a right to put up one political sign in one window.
Okay.
Right? No bigger than, I think, 11 by 14, something like that. I forgot what I put. And it could stay there 30 days before the election.
Oh, okay.
And you have 3 days after the election to remove it.
That's fantastic, right?
Yeah. So, I think condominium owners should have the right to display.
In the window, not in the grass.
In the window. Right. In the window, right. Exactly. In the window
and a certain size.
Right. Certain size, not too big. Just for, you know, have to put it up there. You're allowed 30 days. You know, how often do elections, you know, actually occur? Where you actually care about what's going on.
Right,
it's basically once every 2 or 4 years. So what's the big deal about a sign being in the window for 30 days? So I have legislation pending that's going to do that for condos.
Wow.
And for HOAs, you'd be allowed a sign in your window. And what do people that live in a house want to do? They want to put a yard sign out. Right? Most people want to put a yard sign out. So it would also allow HOA owners to put a small yard sign in their front lawn. You'd have to have it out 30 days before the election, and 3 days after the election, it would have to be removed. Pretty reasonable statute,
is,
I think,
yeah.
Karen, right?
I think it'll.
So, yeah, I'm hoping it'll pass, and next week, again, we're going to have Jan Bergman on the show.
I can't
from CCFJ. Yeah, we'll talk about all the legislation we want to pass and the reasons for it.
How many laws have you actually authored and gotten passed?
It's been a bunch. You know, we had the electric vehicle statute. We had the material alteration
statute.
So you
can, like, plug your car in, right?
Yeah, exactly. I got certainly the legislation passed, which requires education for HOA board members, which requires them to get certified, actually. It was only at first for condos. So, we were lucky. We participated in the statute that requires associations of 150 more units in a condo to have a website. So we're trying to do as much as we can to help unit owners here in all over the state, because the laws, you know, don't give people enough rights as they should. And let's see, every year we try to do a little more. It's very hard to do a lot of things at once.
Yeah.
But, you know, you got to look at it over time. What did we accomplish? And so far, so good. You know, of course, my pet project coming up this year is to make sure that nobody can get certified by signing that stupid self-serving affidavit. I hate it. That actually drives me nuts, right? I can't even talk about it logically.
Yeah.
But that's the one thing that drives me nuts in Florida, that you can get certified by signing that affidavit when you have people that care so much and go out and bother to take a class. So hopefully that's going to change. If there's one thing I want changed, that's the one. All right. Still, a few minutes left. 877-850-8585. Again, 877-850-8585. Call in. Wish your loved one a happy Valentine's Day on the air. How about we go to Marie in Margate? Marie in Margate, how are you? Marie, shut your radio.
We hear you.
Marie?
There, she hears it.
Marie, you there?
Hi, good morning, Eric.
Hi, Marie.
Okay. I just want to get back to you telling an owner that the board decides for their gym to open, and they got the two vaccination shots.
Right.
And they can prove that that's okay to do.
Right. Correct. Are you calling? Are you calling to verify that
I have people.
Yeah.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I have people here that did get the two shots, but they're being told to still wear a mask when they get those shots, and that they're not protected for quite a while. So who do you listen to?
Okay, so the bottom line again, the board of directors can make reasonable rules and regulations, right, regarding the use of the common facilities. So if a board wants to pass a regulation that says if you're going to be in the gym or, you know, any of the common areas, I get calls every day from presidents, vice presidents, hey, can we pass a rule that says everybody must wear a mask in the common areas? You know, would a court uphold that? Yes, I think a court would uphold that. Is it a reasonable rule while a pandemic is still going on? Yes, it absolutely is a reasonable rule. So I think, again, in your situation, if the board says, even if you got the vaccine, we still want you to wear a mask in the gym, yes, I think the bottom line is that would be a reasonable rule and it would be upheld.
And then you'll get to people who don't want the vaccine at all, then they won't be allowed to go into the gym, and then it's going to create all kinds of arguments. I am on my board, so I want to be ready for that.
You know what, Marie? You raise a really interesting point. Karen, have you met any of the non-vax people that are refusing to take this?
No. I mean,
really?
Well, I'm sure there are some, but
yeah.
I have not met any.
Yeah, eventually, Marie's right. This
I'm
is going to come up.
You are?
Okay, you don't want to take
it? I won't. Yes.
Why? Just out of curiosity, why won't you take the shot?
The Johnson and Johnson vaccine when it comes.
Okay, well, you have the right to pick which one you want, right?
But let me ask you something, Marie. Why wouldn't you take the Pfizer shot or the Moderna shot at this point?
Well, there's all this talk about the messenger RNA and how it could affect your platelets.
Yeah.
You know, all this information, you know, it's time to take the daily, as you're probably aware.
Yeah, yeah.
And
you know,
if I don't have to take it, you know, I wear my mask, I wash my hands, all that stuff.
Do you get the flu shot?
I don't want to.
Did you get the flu shot?
I'm sorry?
Did you get the flu shot?
No, I never get a flu shot.
Okay,
I don't get the pneumonia shot. And I am over 65.
Hmm. Yeah, I know.
So far, so good.
I understand, but, you know, I think, in all candor, I'm not a doctor, but I think you're living dangerously. If you can go get the vaccine, you know, I'm not a doctor, but I think you should take it. You know, I'm glad my mother is taking
it. Well,
did she get it?
I will speak with my primary.
Yeah. So, you know, in terms of whether or not...
we need more information on it. Like I said, there's so much contradiction, you don't know... you know.
Well, Eric, you got it. Did you have any side effects?
Yeah, I got shot one.
Johnson. Let us have the Johnson & Johnson.
Yeah, I don't know.
Right.
I don't know when the Johnson & Johnson shot is actually going to be available. Right. But I will tell you this. I will tell you this, Marie. Even though I think you should have it, the thing that most people are having problems with or potential problems with are the second dose of the Moderna Moderna shot or the Pfizer shot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, my wife Kat got the shot. She was sick for 2 days. All right, she had like swollen glands in her neck afterwards.
I do believe that experience. Yeah.
She
only
had
on the second shot. Yes.
Yes, correct. After the second shot,
really?
I think that. Yeah, another person in my family took the second shot, wound up the next day with 103 fever. So, you know, bottom line is, you know, we're a little off topic here about taking the shots, but, you know, I still think it's worth it. You know, I'm, you know, pretty happy. At least that's like my wife and my my mother are protected, right? I would rather them take it and wind up getting a little fever after shot two than risk being out there and catching potentially the coronavirus. But that's me.
Absolutely. I agree with you there.
Yeah.
It's just that they're not saying, why are they telling my people here that did get it, that you still have to wear your mask and you're not fully protected.
Yeah,
and
again,
that's what causes confusion around here anyway.
What does it boil down to, Marie, in a condo or HOA setting? Mm-hmm. Again, is the rule reasonable? Anybody that has to go into the gym or the common areas, do you have to wear a mask, even if you had the coronavirus injections? And I think at this point in time where we're at, no court in the country, no judge in the country would say that's an unreasonable restriction in a condominium. I mean, you know, as we know, we talk about in this show, boards have a lot of power. There's a lot of things you can't do in a condominium, and one of the things might be that you can't walk around during a pandemic without a mask. Again, I think that would be considered a very reasonable rule by an association, and I think it would be upheld. Okay?
Well, you're an attorney, though, Eric. Can they make us get the shot?
Anybody can be made to get the shot, but then the question is, well, what can your condo do if you didn't get the shot?
If you didn't
can they
get
keep
it,
you out?
Then you're prevented.
Yeah, I think they can. I really think so.
Well, that's a way of making you get the shot.
Yeah. Will there be litigation about it potentially? Yes, I think there will be potential litigation. I don't know how it's going to go. But I wish you happy Valentine's Day, Marie. I wish all of our listeners a happy Valentine's Day. Again, my wife, my mom, Karen, mother-in-law, everybody in the family, happy Valentine's Day. Again, all of our listeners a happy Valentine's Day. Don't forget to tune in next week. Jan Bergman will be our guest. If you need legal help, if you need legal help off the air, call my office, 954-983-1112. Again, 954-983-1112. And we'll speak to you again next Sunday at 11 a.m. here on 850 WFTL. Have a great week.